It is Thursday, December 9th, 2021, and we have officially entered the holiday season. And I want to welcome all of you to the Spirit of Giving, and we give this to you. Another installment of the Godfathers of Podcasting, and I want to let you all know we are broadcasting live right now on godfathersofpodcasting.com. And in case you're new around here, you know we've been podcasting since before podcasting was even called podcasting. Archives of this show and all of our previous shows are available on Spotify, Apple, Google, Amazon, or any major podcast provider. The video archives are exclusively available on our website, godfathersofpodcasting.com. When you're on our site, check out the shop, buy one of our sweaters, a t-shirt, a hat, whatever, put a few bucks in our pocket. I just had a fan right before the show send me some pics of themselves in one of our new crop hoodies from the Love Line. Those tops are fire. Go get one right now, ladies. If you are tuned in live, you can interact with us, ask questions, send feedback, talk to our guests, whatever you want. Just text us or hit us up on WhatsApp. The number is 437-375-2000. My name is Donnie Da Silva. I am the ghost of Christmas past, and it is my honor to introduce the ghosts of Christmas present and Kwanzaa future, Notorious T.I.B., Chris Tidwell, and my bro Danny O.
How did you know I celebrate Kwanzaa?
Well, I've known you a long time.
That is incredible. Thank you very much for that.
I was unprepared for that. The racism
is there. Is there? I don't know enough, and maybe it's on me. But you know, is there a ghost of Kwanzaa past? Is there like the whole Chris? Is there any kind of Christmas carol stories that go along with Kwanzaa?
That's musical theater waiting to happen.
It's funny you ask that, man, because I was just thinking the other day about how at this time of year there's all these end of year holidays. Hanukkah just finished. Obviously Christmas, Kwanzaa, etc. And is it just me, or is Christmas the only one that has all of these fictional characters and stories? Does like Hanukkah have like a fake dude who shows up and lights candles when the kids are asleep? Like, do they have a story? Like, I feel ignorant to knowing because we have all these, we got reindeer and snowmen and Santa. I don't know if there's a ghost of Christmas or Kwanzaa. Anybody out there, I would love to know, are there characters associated with those other holidays?
What was the name of the German character?
A Kwanzaa Carol.
A Kwanzaa Carol? Is her name Carol and she sings?
No, I'm saying that's the movie. That's the movie.
It's like a Christmas Carol.
Gotcha. It's like a Christmas ketchup, Dan.
That would be soulful. I would watch that. Got to be some good singers in there.
It's on the Hallmark Channel somewhere this season.
It's got to be. Shout out to everybody who celebrates all of those holidays. And no matter what you celebrate, may you enjoy this year. I mean, especially after last year was so tough, our first COVID ruined holidays. And whatever you're doing, I hope you're safe and I hope you're enjoying. And I would love to know if there are some fictional characters associated with holidays other than Christmas, because I have no idea.
Do you have plans? Because I see somebody's already got a tree up.
Oh, it is. If you ever seen that Charlie Brown Christmas special and that little sad tree, I've had this little sad tree for like decades and I put it up in my crib all the time. So yes, I'm in the holiday spirit.
Dan, somebody texted to say, does Krampus count?
Krampus is still associated with Christmas, is it not?
I guess.
To my knowledge,
yeah,
that's like a
Dutch thing.
Yes, I do know that there's other Christmas related
characters. That's a badass story though.
Yeah.
The Krampus thing, right? Because that's the one where like they don't just like know if you're naughty or nice, like Santa or whatever. They like come along and steal your kid and put him in a sack and take him to the river. Like Krampus is a messed up story, dude.
Tid, yeah, I just noticed something's different about you this week. You've got less obstruction on your pretty face. You're wearing smaller headphones.
That's right. I knew something.
Yeah, I got some new buds. I tried to see if they had like a ski mask version to cover this entire thing up. But these are the biggest ones that they had apparently to go with my Dumbo ass ears. You know,
I think it's a good look
How
for you.
Cute.
Yeah.
Wow. No, well, thank good. You. But we're still not dating.
Yes, so. We are.
All right.
Going steady for 25 years.
And going.
So I want to share with you guys, because I haven't even had a chance to talk to y'all about this, and I want to share with the audience. Two nights ago, I had one of the most fun nights I have had in a very, very long time. I was out at the El Macambo, or as it should be referred to, the legendary El Macambo.
The Elmo.
The Elmo, one of the best concert halls, one of the best concert theaters in the greater Toronto area. Legendary for the number of crazy bands that have played there over the years. And for those that don't know the story, the El Macambo almost went out of business a few years ago.
Yeah.
And then it was purchased by a group of investors headed up by Michael Weckerly and others, other billionaire playboy philanthropists. And they apparently, this is the word I heard this week, they spent $35 million renovating the place.
No, no, they wrote off $35 million dollars to be able to do that. Well, think about what the property would cost right now because of where it is inside of Toronto with property values what they are, like Dan, something like that. Absolutely,
it's completely ridiculous. Gutted it. There's nothing original from the Elmo.
Okay, I was gonna say because gutted. My recollection is like you walk upstairs and it's like it's not a big venue. $35 million sounds like there's a new stadium for the Blue Jays to play in.
It's not like that would be a lot more.
It's not like when the Rolling Stones played there. You know what I'm saying?
Skydome was sold to Rogers, who turned it into the Rogers Center for $25 million, if I recall the story correctly. A $35 million renovation. Shit, man.
It's insane. It went from being this dingy little place.
The floors better massage my feet when I'm standing on it.
The floors are nice. They've got these big screen TVs installed behind the bar. So when you're getting a drink, you can still see what's happening on stage.
Oh, that's dope.
The sound quality is so much better. And I don't know what it is that they did. They somehow improved the acoustics even further. The new sound system.
Washed the speakers.
No, all new speakers. Nothing was washed and replaced. Everything was brand new. Anyway, the Elmo is outstanding.
What were you there for?
I was there for Lemon Stage, which is a really cool thing I hadn't heard about before. So Lemon Stage does curated weekly shows every Tuesday at the El Macambo with unsigned musicians, unsigned artists, and pretty much everything they do has a social cause attached to it. So this past week, they had a few really cool bands that I was not familiar with, but I left there being a fan of all of them. Moscow Apartment was the first one I saw. There was one act that I missed, and apologies to them. Moscow Apartment, Neffy, who just fucking wails. Dan, if you heard this woman sing, you would instantly fall in love. And then there was Sky Wallace, who just like melted everyone's face. They have such a big sound and they are so fun to watch. But of course, the reason I went was because our friend was there in attendance doing a little acoustic set, and that was Biff Naked. And it was so fucking great. Here are these young baby bands that are just rocking and doing their thing. And Biff comes up with this, you know, just sort of like composed confidence and does a sweet little 4-song acoustic set along with a Q&A for the audience. And it was so cool that she went in there. She didn't headline the event. She went on before Sky Wallace, and she was just there to lend her name to a really cool event. Julie Black did the same thing 2 weeks ago. So I thought, wow, this is a really neat thing. And a couple of the bands that performed at Lemon Stage this past week, namely Sky Wallace, is going to be joining us in the new year here on the program. Super excited to sit and talk with them. I had a chance after the show to chat with Biff for a little while, and she sent her hellos to both of you. Chris, she asked how your wife is doing, and Dan, she congratulated you on the release of Dear Hip Hop.
Oh, that's awesome, man.
And yeah, she's fully aware of what's going on in everybody's lives, and she's just literally one of the sweetest, nicest people I've ever met. Not just that, I don't mean just like people in the music industry, I just mean people.
Yeah, there's no question. She's really dope. I'm so sorry I missed that. And much love to Biff Naked. Everybody who was on that that show as well. But yeah, man, like, you know, we've been doing this show. It's almost going to be in the new year. It'll be 2 years. And I'm telling you, man, like, we have obviously met a lot of people, talked to a lot of people, and Biff is a standout person for someone who doesn't just keep in touch, but regularly supports everything we do, sending all these sweet messages, shout outs via Instagram or whatever it is. Like, she's not, like, she's the perfect example of, you, nobody's too cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody's too busy. Like, if she can reach out and send some love and remember us and remember the specific things going on in our lives, there's no excuse for anybody to not be that cool. But she's cool on another level. Love you, Biff. Big shout
she's
out.
She's horrible. She's horrible. She is the most horrible punk rock anarchist out there because her love just runs way too deep to ever be taken seriously as punk anymore. Jesus right. Christ, Biff. I mean, stop being so awesome. Like, yes. Literally.
It's true.
Tremendous human.
It's out of control. It's out of control.
Right?
It was so much fun. And Tid, you'll be happy to know her puppy Ace was in attendance as well.
Tremendous.
Yeah.
Ace Furley.
Yeah. Grace. Such a good time. Get so great. If you're listening to this and you're in the Toronto area and you are interested in checking out some really cool live music, this isn't like your local neighborhood bar that has bands playing. These are all carefully curated artists that come together with a theme, you know, like all of them sort of fit together and they're all really high caliber. My kudos go out to the promoters of Lemon Stage who really did a nice job curating the lineup for this show. It was excellent. And
I've got a website where people can check it out.
Yeah. I'm going to post everything up on godfathersofpodcasting.com and going to link up all their socials so you can go check out Lemon Stage. You can see what they've got coming up next and see if it piques your fancy.
Tremendous.
Tid,
Don,
you ever think about moving back to Vegas
every day?
If so, I may know a place.
If so facto. Yeah, I'm not spending that kind of money though, bro.
Oh, he already knows the story. Folks, we didn't plan this.
Dude, everybody knows the story already because here's the one thing that people forget. Here's the one thing that people forget. Just because you spend that kind of money on it and you take it, he still has naming rights.
So Gene Simmons,
okay,
the enigmatic frontman from Kiss, is selling his Las Vegas mansion that overlooks the Strip. He's asking for a mere
13.5.
Which is down from 14. Which is down from 14.8, which he originally.
So you can't even renovate El Macambo for that money.
Yeah, he's willing to take he's willing to take a loss. He's
yeah, willing it's a to steal.
Take a loss in the market right now. You know what I mean?
Gene's crib is 11,000 square feet, or barely big enough for his tongue. it's got 6 bedrooms, a grotto, a movie theater, and a half acre orchard, which means just barely enough space, Tid, for you, the wife, and the dogs.
Right.
Simmons says that Las Vegas is the perfect place to live. No income tax, no state tax, no local tax. He himself, though, doesn't want to move. His family wants to move. They are sick of the Vegas heat, and they're sick of Gene's love of strippers. Oh, not wow. like they don't have strippers everywhere else. He says he could sell the place for double what he's asking, but he doesn't want it to go to any old knucklehead, and he has to like the person who buys it. Can you imagine buying a house from Gene Simmons and how difficult he would be about everything? First of all, I'm sure everything in the house is branded with Kiss, right? There's a Kiss logo on everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, right. You can guarantee that at least Vince Neil is not going to be able to buy this place. He already lives in Vegas. Yeah, I can't imagine what it must be like to have to sit there and listen, because he's still married to Sharon, what's her name, right? Like, he's still married to the same woman.
Sharon. Genius.
What's her name?
Mrs. Jean. Simmons.
Why am I drawing a blank on it?
I'm drawing a blank
Shannon.
Too.
Shannon.
Shannon. Yeah, Shannon okay. Tweed.
Right.
When you said Sharon, you were thinking right? Ozzy.
Yes, exactly.
Rockstar Shannon Tweed.
Wives. He's still married to her, right?
Yeah.
And they're complaining about the whole stripper thing. How'd they meet?
Well, she's a fine Canadian actress, you know?
Uh-huh. I do not doubt that one at all.
Yeah.
But, I mean, come on. It's Gene Simmons, for God's sakes. What's he going to do? Go out there and like embarrass himself? I don't think so. He's Gene fucking Simmons, man.
He's just being himself.
Right?
You think we can pull together 13.5 and head down?
Let's start a GoFundMe for an
Godfathers
of Podcasting vacation home. Everybody who signs up,
you turn it into a timeshare.
You 100%. Let's do this right now.
There it is.
I think that's the way to go.
And then every December, we'll throw a party for all of our most loyal fans, and we'll call it Kissmas.
Right? Oh, we gonna invite Mike Tyson?
We could. Segueing to another story? Is that what you're doing?
Well, I mean, since we're on the topic of boxing.
I mean, it's kind of a clumsy segue, but I'll let you get away with it.
He's allowed a couple of foul balls now and again.
Hey, man. No, it's boxing. And speaking of clumsy segues, the segue from the Jake Paul versus Tommy Fury to Jake Paul versus Tyron Woodley 2.0. That was one of the most clumsy segues I think ever to happen in the world of sport, man.
It was kind of weird how they announced that Tommy Fury was injured and had an infection and therefore had to pull out of the fight.
Right.
Just like what, 10 days before or something like that?
Yeah. A viral infection in your chest. No joke. You want to deal with.
I get
a broken rib on your side, like down where you're like, where it is broken for him. Absolutely. To be able to train. Cause listen, what this does is this tells you that at least Tommy Fury was taking Jake Paul seriously. And he knew that, like, I mean, Jake Paul's trying to take himself seriously. He's doing the right things. He's doing all of the training. Is it making him better? Yeah, it can't possibly make him any worse. You know what I mean? So he's going out there to fight. So to say to, you know, all the people that are hating on Tommy Fury saying, oh, he's just copping out of this fight or whatever. No, listen, that fight's still going to happen. I can guarantee you that fight is still going to happen. But a quick bait and switch with Tyron Woodley. Listen, all of the cards are in Tyron Woodley's hands on this one right now. And he's literally has to. His entire lifeline and reputation like is on this fight right now. If you lose to Jake Paul twice, don't ever fight again. Go do acting. Go do rap. Go do whatever it is that you want to do.
Go do rap.
You know, like what
it's
I mean?
Easy. Well, because,
no, I'm saying whatever it is that you want to do, because he has tried this, right? Go do what you want to do, because fighting is not on the table anymore if you lose two in a row like that.
Dan, how do you feel that Tid just used your entire career path as a fallback plan?
I just thought go do rap was a funny sentence. That didn't offend me at all. I thought it was humorous.
Go do rap. I think that's going to be a song on the new Danny O album.
Go do rap. That's the album title.
Go do rap.
That's the title of the album. Tid, in your professional opinion, is there any reason we should believe that this time it's going to be different with Woodley?
I mean, do I believe that? No. I mean, does he have a chance at it? Yeah. Did he have a chance last time? Absolutely. But he did what Tyron Woodley does, and he doesn't lay on the gas. Why should we ever believe that he's going to this time? This is a dude who has cried wolf so many times. Like, you know what I mean? Could somebody possibly make some money off of this? Yeah, because I think Woodley's going to be a huge underdog in this. But I still think that Jake Paul is a better boxer than Tyron Woodley.
The best thing to happen from a money standpoint is for Tyron Woodley to win, and then they do it again.
100%. And it puts Tommy Fury back on the back burner. You know what I mean? And in the hopes from Jake Paul that, you know, they can't make that fight.
Okay. Transitioning out of the sports world, I have a little fun story/game for y'all. And I know you guys weren't prepared for this, so let's just wing it and have some fun before our first guest joins. Babbel is a company in the United States and Germany. That's where their offices are. They are a language learning platform. And so what they do for the last few years is every year at the end of the year, they release a list of the most mispronounced words of the year. Okay. These are the most mispronounced words of 2021. And some of them, I'm not even sure you guys know what they mean. So, Dan, okay. You want to take a shot at this word? First of all, do you even know what this means?
These are English words.
Correct.
Chugi.
Chugi is actually correct.
Oh, nice.
It's a term popularized by Gen Zers, used to mock an outdated or unfashionable aesthetic typically associated with millennials.
Wow, even millennials are out of style now.
Right?
Wow, okay, they're chugi, eh?
Who's got this one? How do you pronounce this?
Dalgona.
Say it again.
Dalgona.
You're so close. It's actually
it's Dalgona as in Dalgona gonna get you.
Dalgona get you.
Dalgona is that Korean treat that we saw in Squid Game that they cut out to not die.
Oh, that's a legit Korean treat? Like they cut. Oh, wow.
Yeah, not dying is a legit Korean treat in North Korea.
Yeah.
You've not been paying attention.
How about this one? Anyone got
everybody insight? Knows this one.
Do you? Everybody knows the Doge. I'm going to guess that
it's the Doge.
Doge? I was going to say.
Yeah, it's Dogecoin.
You're correct. It is pronounced Dogecoin, but I mean, it's confusing to me because their logo has a dog on it. So you would think it's Doggy Coin.
You would think that.
The logo would have thrown me off.
This is one that every...
It's not German.
Okay.
Every thrifty woman I know says this word 50 times a day, and they all say it differently.
Wow.
This this here is it's a brand.
Yeah.
And it's
that thing coming off of Dan's forehead. It's a sheen.
Always a lot of sheen. It's true, man.
It's a Chinese fast fashion company at the center of viral trends everywhere and lower price shopping. Let's skip that one. Tid?
It's the man right there. It's the newest and greatest thing. That's one half of the greatest duo of brothers. That's Jason Kelsey.
According to Babbel, it's pronounced Kells. And he said in an interview, his entire life, teammates, friends, and even family mispronounce his name.
Yeah. You know what? My full name is Tidwell. When do I go by it? Deal with it, Kelsey.
Folks, standing in our backstage area, we have not one, but two guests that are waiting. So we got to move quickly here. First off, it is the season to be giving. And with that, let's introduce our first guest of the evening. He's an award-winning radio host and hip-hop artist. He's the music director and co-founder of the Cranium Festival, as well as the founder of Bring A Game and the Hip-Hop Food Drive, which is online at hiphopfooddrive.com. Ladies and gentlemen, he's your favorite light skin. This is Justin J. Morris Gunderson. What's up, man?
Hold on. Not on this show. Not on this show, bro.
Second favorite light skin?
Second favorite light skin.
Wow. Right, my bad.
Nah, he's still, my favorite.
Still hating. What's still hating. Hey, man.
We have, I don't know if it's a decade-long battle of who's the favorite light skin. It just, the battle continues, man. But yeah,
I'm going to give it to you. You were the first one, so I'm going to give it to
Listen, Jay Morris, I never liked Dan much anyway, so talk to us about the hip-hop food drive.
I'm going to give it to you because this is a great cause, man.
I appreciate you, bro. Yeah, the Hip Hop Food Drive, man, for me was something that, you know, started as just an idea of, you know, for a sort of a one-off event in Toronto. Mm-hmm. Actually, let me take it back. The first event was in Ottawa, but it was a whole nother name. And we did like giving back to a food bank in Ottawa years before the first time I ever did a Hip Hop Food Drive event. But when I was living in Toronto, we did the first year and it was a success. Like, it was great just to look around and see, you know, in the building there were Canadian, you know, legends in the building supporting and then giving back. There were, you know, people that I just didn't expect to show up at a first event for a food drive in terms of like legendary. And I could name a whole bunch of people that were there, but it was a whole bunch of dope Canadian legendary MCs in the building that night. And I said, yo, this is amazing. We could keep doing this. It turned into, you know, the second year. And then I was just like, we could do this annually. Mm-hmm. And so we just kept coming back with it. Daniel actually has taken part in, I believe, about two or three of the events so far over the years. And, you know, just blessed us with his skills on the mic and also helping give back in the community. And just like those type of people, you know, like Danio, you know, Maestro, you know, people like Mishy Me or Melanie Durant, they've all showed love, you know, to the hip hop food drive over the years. So we just continuing to do it, man. And it's, you know, we're at the 7th annual now, and every year we're trying to add another city as we keep growing. So this year, seven years, 7 cities. We're doing 7 performances, and we tried to keep it small this year, you know, because of COVID. We didn't want to kind of go around city to city. I also just had a new daughter.
Yes, congrats.
Nice. Great time for me to hit the road, so we kept it virtual this year. We also did it virtual last year because of COVID, but I can't wait to get back to, like, doing it next year, you know?
How's the drive going so far this season?
Amazing. So typically what we do is we just ask for non-perishable food items. I never wanted it to be like a raise money and give money back. But because we did everything virtually last year, we switched it to, you know, asking for monetary donations. Last year, we were able to raise just over $2,000. And this year, you know, we set the goal at $3,500 to at least be able to give $500 to each food bank that we're giving back to. We're literally just approaching 3,000 right now. So, you know, I think we're going to touch the goal of 3,500, if not, you know, hopefully some more before the end of the event, which happens on December 18th at 6 p.m. on hiphopfooddrive.com. It's like a live stream happening. So there's, again, 7 performances, 7 cities. Off top, it's hard for me to remember all the cities, but like Kingston, Toronto, Barrie, Montreal, Ottawa, Vancouver, and I'm probably missing somewhere else. But yeah, man, it's you know, it's amazing.
No matter where people are at, how can they donate, bro?
HipHopFoodDrive.com is the best option. Like, literally just going to the website, HipHopFoodDrive.com, or you can e-transfer it to HipHopFoodDrive@gmail.com.
Dope, man.
That's amazing. Listen, I'm not going to take offense to the fact that I have not been invited out as one of the legendary hip-hop artists. Jesus. I do rap.
Well, you're coming to the next one when we do the 8th annual.
You know, yeah, that'll album, be your last one. If you book
my
it.
Album is under the underground. It's very underground.
Under the underground.
For a good reason. We tried to marry that.
If you're not hip to it, I'm not going to hate on you. It's just you're not there yet. It's okay. But thank you. And
bro.
Respect and keep doing your thing, man.
Thank you, bro.
Yeah, man. You get thank the you. Favorite light skin crown today, bro, and every Christmas season. I just want to send a big shout out to you and to everybody who's participating in the Hip Hop Food Drive and everyone who's ever supported it. I wanted to bring this to the Godfathers of Podcasting audience. It's such an amazing event, it's a mission to basically feed people, bro. And I remember being, I don't know if it was Ottawa or Montreal, where you and I literally went into a store and just, you know, stacked up shopping carts with food, with the donations that we received. And I wish you the best this year. I hope this is your most successful one. I want to let everybody in Canada know that you can e-transfer hiphopfooddrive@gmail.com. Let's exceed $3,500.
Yeah, let's do it, fans. All of you out there listening and watching to this week's episode, let's smash their goal and let's help put them over the top.
No doubt.
Jay Morris, thanks for joining us, man. We got to
thank you, bro.
Appreciate you.
You got it, man.
That's your second favorite light skin.
Yeah,
I'm not sure who first is.
He's my favorite, and I'm his, man. This is definitely an important cause, and I just want to say the events are dope. Whenever we get back to the stage, I'm actually hoping to be part of this event every year, because not only is it a dope concert, no matter where we go, but man, it's just so important. You know what I'm saying? You know, feeding the hungry and just giving back to the community. So. Thanks to him, and thanks to everybody out there who's already supported. And please, if you haven't yet, now you know how to.
All right.
Tremendous.
We've got a lovely lady sitting backstage, so let's bring her out, shall we?
Let's do it.
It is time right now for the big hello. And this week's guest is a chiropractic doctor and an osteopath who works closely with political leaders, CEOs, and a list of celebrities. Dan, are you on her client list? When she's not traveling to her Hollywood clientele, you will find this woman working directly with clients at her state-of-the-art boutique, clinic, and showroom located on Toronto's downtown waterfront. She's also a prominent media personality that educates others and lends her health and wellness expertise to various TV shows and publications. It was actually about a year ago that I first saw her stretching out the morning host on Breakfast Television. In 2017, she won Afro Global Science and Technology Award in 2018. She was named one of Canada's 150 most extraordinary people. In 2019, she was named one of the 24 most influential business people of African descent by the United Nations. Also in 2019, she was awarded with the Women of Inspiration's Innovator Award. In 2020, she was featured in Fashion Magazine with a great article that honored her Nigerian roots and her incredible business. And in 2021, she won an award for Woman Who Dislikes Beards the Most. She is the founder of her own line of shoes, which have been meticulously designed and clinically tested for painless all-day wear. Her line has been featured on CityLine, The Maryland Dennis Show, The Social, Global News, and many, many more. Last week, she was trending all over my social media feed because apparently everyone I know is a fan of this woman. They were all congratulating her as she secured an investment on Dragon's Den, but she quickly revealed that things were not as they seemed, and she got the Casper treatment from one of the dragons. I dropped her a message and asked her to spill some tea, so here she is. You know there's no one wiser than your posture advisor, the spinal analyzer. Give it up for Dr. Liza.
Okay, love that. I'll have to keep that recording later.
Yes, please keep it to yourself so we don't embarrass the show.
Yeah. I know, it's all good. And the beard thing, did you hear that on Breakfast Television?
I pay attention to everything, Dr.
You
Liza.
Do? I'm like, how do you remember that?
I pay attention to everything. How are you?
I feel like I got to do the show like this.
No, I'm not a beard hater. I was just saying that he looks better without the beard. That's all. Okay. Just to clarify that point first.
It's all good. Thanks for your time. We appreciate you hanging out with us right now.
Yeah, this is late for me. Very late. But you know,
yeah, is it bedtime?
Happy to be here. I honestly would be in my pajamas in bed, like not sleeping, but I'd be in bed.
Well, so, you look like you're ready for a night out. So thanks. We appreciate
it. Well, I'm like, should I come in sweats or pajamas? I'm like, no, since it's being recorded. That's why I was like, is it audio or is it going to be recorded? Otherwise, right. I would pull out
Dr. Liza, in my bed. I'm just super curious, given the background that you have on lovely display there, with all of the awards and accolades that you've accumulated, you know, especially in recent years, are you keeping them in a shoebox somewhere to make space for all of those?
The awards are in shoeboxes. The shoes are on the shelves.
Right.
Well, you know what? They are actually in closets at this point. So one day I will have to have the shoes. Well, I need access. Like, this is actually my closet that I'm in right now.
So. Gotcha.
See, here's the thing that these guys are maybe not like, it's not just shoes behind her, guys. This is set up like shoes. Art. Look at it. It's one going one way, front. One going the other way.
Yeah.
All the way. Like, yeah. This is meticulously set. She knows exactly what she's doing at all times. Don't let this pretty face fool you, boys.
Now, let's give a shout out.
This is just a handful of shoes.
Oh, yeah. That's what you wear on Friday.
This goes on for a few feet, I feel like, right? This
is amazing.
It's a slipper. Now, are those the shoes that you have marketing to help people with their issues, posture, etc.?
I actually design all these shoes.
Okay.
So they don't look like orthopedic shoes. They just look like great dress shoes, but they're all great for alignment. They support your body, your posture. So they're orthopedic shoes that do not look anything like orthopedic shoes.
It's amazing.
How can that work with heels, though? I mean, that's the obvious.
I know.
Question,
I'm fascinated by the science of it.
Yes.
Are you? So
I legit am.
Well, he's like 9 feet tall, though, right? Like that's the like.
The thing is, high heels normally, like your average high heel, tilts you forward so that all your pressure is on the front of your toes, and it throws your whole body out of alignment. So I've designed them so that they're actually offloading. So there's women who actually will wear their shoes at home because they're like, oh, my back was hurting, so I put on my shoes just to alleviate some of that pressure. So think about like your best orthotic, the best support that you have, but it's a heel.
Hmm. So, I have to ask you, as someone who's 5'6", how do you convince people like me to support such things? I don't need women to be any taller than they already are. No, I'm sure. It's hard for me to get behind that. No, but in all seriousness, and these guys know this, I've been a long time proponent for chiropractic. I've been going to chiropractic forever. I continue to have monthly maintenance. I believe in it for optimum health, in addition to, of course, resolving issues with respect to back pain and et cetera. Can I ask you to offer our audience some enlightenment on chiropractic? Because I find that over the years that I've been, you know, championing it, people continue to feel like, oh, you only go when your back hurts. But can you speak to the larger benefits that come from that practice?
For sure. So I'm actually a chiropractor and an osteopath. Okay. And you have some chiropractors who do focus mostly on the spine, but many, and actually I would say most, especially in the Toronto area, do treat the whole body. So it's not just about adjusting the back or back adjustments or neck adjustments. It's about realigning the body. So if you hurt your knee, they could treat your knee. If you have foot pain, they can treat your feet with manual therapy. Some use acupuncture, stretching, exercises, and custom orthotics. If you have headaches, so pretty much anything head to toe, it's not just manipulation of the spine, depending on the chiropractor. So some just focus on the spine, but if it's a chiropractor like me, then it's the whole body. So we're manipulating the muscles, the fascia. It's a mix of massage, physio, all of that grouped into one. And essentially anything that it takes to align and fix your body so that you move optimally, you feel better, you have more energy. And also your posture, you look better too when you have better posture.
For sure.
Why is it that when you start talking about that, I got a cramp in my neck? Like I need some work right now.
Because you're like,
this is not good.
Everyone can benefit from whether it's seeing a chiropractor, an osteopath, any kind of manual therapy, because we all spend way too much time sitting. We spend way too much time on our devices, on our laptops, and all of that, instead of us being upright, it causes us to hunch forward. So literally everyone can benefit from some manual therapy.
Talk to me about what happened. I mean, first of all, when did you go in and tape the episode of Dragon's Den?
So this was a while ago. I think it was, it's hard to remember now, like maybe April or May.
Okay.
So it's a long process. They actually reached out to me earlier in the year around January, February. And, you know, I was like, you know, I'm at the point with my business where I am ready for an investor. You know, we're growing each year. Each year we're doubling in sales. So when you reach a certain point, you want someone else to help you take it to the next level. So I went in this thinking, you know, yes, I actually do want, it's not just for the
exposure
of being on the show, because I already have a ton of exposure because I'm already on TV. My brand's been in the media a lot. So for me, I actually really did want to secure a deal with a dragon. So I said, I'm going to go in there. The first dragon that makes me an offer, I'm going to take it on the spot because I know that they will devalue my brand. But I know that together we'll increase the value. So it'll work out. And, you know, after the show, I'm sure negotiations would happen. So I go in there. I get a deal with Manjeet. She offers me $200,000 for 40%.
40%,
Yes. And so she took, my initial value was at $1 million. And she took it down to $500,000. But, you know, my strategy was I'm going to accept the first deal, even though she cut my valuation in half. I'm like, that's that part. And then when we get into the negotiation and talking how we can grow, you know, and the value of having a dragon can help grow it more than I would be able to go on my own.
Sure.
So after the show, you know, they send over the, I guess, your deal sheet and all the things that you're required to send. And normally the, like the list of stuff that you have, you would normally have 30 to 90 days to submit that, because it's a whole lot of financial information. It's, you know, everything about your business.
It's all the due diligence.
So, exactly. So, well, no, this is actually even before the due diligence, right?
Oh.
So, yeah. So this is, I had five business days to submit it. It was over 100 pages, just to give you like 100 pages. That's why it takes 30 to 90 days. But I did it in that amount of time. I'm like, okay, this must be the first test, because clearly you're trying to weed people out, because most people will not be able to provide that amount of information in that time. But for me, when it comes to my business, I do whatever it takes. So if I have to go around the clock to get it done, got it done, got all the information I needed, sent it over. Then her assistant says, okay, let's set up our first meeting. I'm like, awesome. And she's like, oh, and before the meeting, I need you to send over more samples. I was like, oh, no, no. I'm like, I already gave her samples on the socials. She has them. And she's like, no, she wants more samples so that she has them on hand for your meeting. I was like, okay, sure. I'll send them over, but I don't know why, because you already have the shoes. So I sent over more samples, and then we had our first meeting. You know, I'm all ready for the day. I'm still practicing, right? So, you know, I've blocked off time in my clinic, even though, you know, me blocking out time in my clinic means I'm not seeing patients and I have no revenue for that time, right? Because I have to block it off. I block it off, and then, oh, I'm like, so what's happening? And she's like, her assistant says, oh, she's on a flight, so she's not going to be able to make the meeting. I'm like, okay, you didn't know that? Like, you're her assistant.
Right.
Okay, so that was number one. I was like, okay, like, things happen, you know, we're in a pandemic, you know, no problem. We'll schedule another meeting. So maybe 2 weeks later, we schedule another Zoom call. This is a day when I'm not in clinic, but I'm like, you know what? I want to have a really good impression. I want to set everything up because this is going to be our first meeting. So I come down to my clinic, you know, set everything up. Like, I'm all ready for a meeting. I'm on our Zoom call. I'm all ready. You know, I'm waiting. It's 15 minutes. And I'm like, oh, let me email. So I emailed the assistant. I'm like, oh, I'm just a reminder, I'm on the Zoom call that we have scheduled. And then 15 minutes later, she gets back to me. She's like, oh, yeah, I just got a hold of her. And it looks like she didn't have you in her calendar. And she's on another meeting, so she won't be able to meet with you today. I was like, okay, I came all the way downtown. Like, I'm a busy person myself.
Yeah,
you know,
like, I do a lot. I'm like, I hate that.
Yeah, I blocked this out. And I'm like, never had this happen before. Like, where one time it's like, okay, that's,
yeah,
you know, things happen. Two times it's not in your calendar. And like, you have an assistant who would put it in your calendar. So right away I knew, I'm like, they're playing me. Like, this is like, obviously it's in your calendar and you're doing this, like, you're playing some kind of game. But I was like, you know what? Let's do, you know, third time's the charm. I'm like, okay, we'll set up one more meeting. So same thing, block off my schedule, come downtown, set everything up. I'm on the Zoom call and I'm like, okay, 15 minutes. Again, I email the assistant. I'm like, okay, well, I'm on the Zoom call. I'm at my clinic and I'm like, I guess if I don't hear back in 15 minutes, I guess I'll just leave and go home. Like, I have a 7-year-old child. Like, I can't just be, you know? So I, I gave it 20 or 30 minutes and then I left my clinic. We were closed for the day. And then the next day, my assistant is like, oh, she left a call on your call on the clinic phone, a message on the clinic phone saying, oh, sorry, technical difficulties. I couldn't make the call. And my assistant was like, technical difficulties on Zoom in 2021? Mm-hmm. That just doesn't
happen. And they couldn't make a call at the time?
Exactly. Well, the thing is, you had my cell phone number.
Yes.
To get my clinic number, you actually had to Google that, right? So instead of calling if you called my cell phone, that would mean we'd actually have to have a conversation, right? So instead you waited an hour till after my clinic closed when you knew no one would be there and then left that message. And you had to Google that number. Meanwhile, you had my cell phone number. But you didn't want me to be able, you didn't want to talk to me, so that's why you didn't call my cell phone or ever send me a message. I never got an email being like, oh, sorry, I missed all our meetings. Like, best of luck with everything. And the thing is, I know, like, when you go into one of these things, yes, it's a TV show. So if you do a deal and it's not going to happen, after just be like, send an email, be like, you know what, thought about it, it's not going to work out. Best of luck with everything. And I'd be like, awesome, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go and make me submit 100 pages of information, then send information for 2 months of all my data, and then set up all these meetings, and then no-show, and ask for more samples, just to completely ghost, like, you know, since then, I didn't get to speak to her once. Like, not so even.
You are giving me.
Hold on. After the third no-show, right? What happened then? Did you just say, I'm washing my hands of it and I'm just not reaching out anymore? Was that the end of it?
No, yeah. Why would I keep reaching out? Like, they're...
Yeah, no, I get it.
I'm not stupid. You know what I mean? I'm like, I know, sure. I see the game that you're playing. You did the deal for TV. No problem. Yeah. But after you do the deal, you just say, you know, it's not going to work out. Unless you want to make it seem like I'm the one who didn't keep up with the thing when it's really mm-hmm. you. That's the only reason mm-hmm. you would do that, right? To be like, oh, these deals don't work out because the entrepreneurs can't keep up with my thing. You know, they, and it's like, no, but you're the one. I literally jumped through all the hoops that most people wouldn't be able to do. And you wasted
Did all of these samples that you sent, did they happen to be in her shoe size?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Of course.
She made away with a whole lot of like free shoes from you, basically.
Yeah. It's not even about that. The more concerning part was just also in the den, she mentioned that she's friends with one of my competing shoe brands.
Wow.
So then it just
made do you think it is one of these, for lack of a better term, espionage type things where she's taken your shoes, your models, and can reverse engineer these things, you know what I mean, to your competitors.
Shoes are not an issue. Anyone can buy your shoes, right? The issue comes when you have like a power differential, right? Like I'm a contested, like that's on a show, and I want to have a deal with a dragon, right? Mm-hmm. So when you ask for all my information that I would never hand over to anyone,
right,
I would never hand over all my business information, 100%. All my financial, anyone's, the only person who could ever get that information from me is maybe CRA, and that's it, right?
Right.
But because I wanted to make this deal happen, I released all this information to her. So it's not even about the samples of my shoes. So the fact that you have all my information, mm-hmm. and I have no protection at all. Like I have no NDA, nothing. And the thing is, if you didn't want to do the deal, that would have been no problem. But the fact that you strung me on for over 2 months, collecting more and more information, setting up meetings, when obviously what's the most valuable asset a person has? Their time.
It's just
disrespectful.
Yes. I was just going to say, there's got to be something to say about the disrespect factor here and the complete lack of professionalism.
That's the biggest thing.
Yeah. And you're giving me real bad memories of my first family law lawyer. And he wouldn't show up to a meeting and I would never be able to. And I'm like, yeah, I feel for you. I know what it's like in a different capacity completely. And that's ultra frustrating.
I'm curious. I was going to say, I'm curious, at any time, did you reach out to the producers of the show and explain what you were dealing with?
Yeah.
Oh, no. So the thing is, once they send a deal sheet, you're like, okay, you don't want, that's it. It's between you and the dragon. We don't want, yeah. So like once you're done with the show and you have your deal, for good reason, they want nothing to do with it at all. Right. It's just between you and the dragon.
Dr. Lysa, you mentioned not having an NDA. Is there a concern at all that maybe your work, your patent, your business, the information can be shared or utilized, like not just by that competitor, but literally anyone, because you don't have a specific deal in place to prevent it?
It's a concern for me just because my last clinic was actually stolen. So I'm already wary of any kind of business deal, right? So for me to do this,
show
and actually put my trust in someone and make another, you know, it was a huge leap of faith because I've already, you know, as a Black woman, our information, our ideas, our businesses are stolen because people feel like they have a right to it. So it was actually a big, like, thing for me to actually do the show and actually make a deal and say, you know what, I'm willing to do this again and be vulnerable in a business sense.
Wow.
So that brings to mind a question. In your list of amazing clientele, do you have a really good corporate lawyer?
Actually, I'm wondering. My really good friend is a corporate lawyer.
You might have something here.
Yes. Like,
and I know you're not going to get a deal, $200,000 for 40% out of a corporate lawyer following up, but maybe some sort of compensation for all of the work and effort and like data that was turned over?
Yeah, get your shit back.
It's not really even about that, right? It's, for me, the biggest thing is just the disrespect. And I want other entrepreneurs to know that when they are going into something like this, perhaps don't look at it as a real thing, right? Because most of the entrepreneurs going in do actually get ghosted by their dragons. So
would you consider
the first one?
Would you consider a celebrity boxing match
in Dr. Liza's shoes?
I consider one.
Yeah.
Against Manjeet.
I guess Manjeet.
In like one hit. I have a black belt in karate. I boxed. Like, wouldn't be fair. It wouldn't be fair competition. Like, I literally have a black belt. Like, I can take anyone down in, you know, a couple seconds. So
we would love to have Manjeet on the show to give her side of the story, but she's going to ghost us, so we're not even going to bother.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, you could set up like 5 million podcasts and see if any of them actually, if she actually shows up to any of them.
Right.
We'll try.
Yeah.
It's an interesting story. I do know a few people who have been on the same show. Tid, you know a couple as well. And we know people. Actually, weren't you on the show once, Tid?
Which one?
On Dragon's Den.
Yes, I was.
Yeah, you were on the show.
I've been there a couple of times with people that I know, and I was literally dragged onto the show one time with somebody else who was there pitching a wrestling program.
Right.
So yeah, it was interesting to say the least.
Really?
I know people that have made deals and been ghosted, and I know people that have made deals and done really, really well. So it's hard to say, you know, I don't know how prevalent this is, that this experience, I don't know if it's specific to the investor.
If it's happened a couple of times, it's happened too many times.
The thing is, I have no problem with being ghosted, but don't waste my time.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. If we didn't set up any meetings and I didn't send any paperwork and I never heard from you, I would not care in the least.
Yeah.
So make me go through all of that. And you know, that's what I mean. That's the disrespect. Ghosting, no problem. Just ghost me right at the start. Don't ghost me after you have all my information and you've made this power stance by no showing on 3 meetings.
Yeah, I was gonna say too, I'd rather be just ghosted completely and not have you follow up with a half-assed apology. Let's do this again sometime, so that you do waste more time and more energy to be ghosted
completely from the beginning. Totally. I wouldn't even think about you ever again. Like, it's
possible. It's crazy.
Yeah, but don't steal my time, you know.
Yeah.
Dr. Liza, we have all kinds of people that are writing in right now on our text hotline, 437-375-2000. It's mainly women who want to learn more about your shoes, and they're asking if there's somewhere they can look at them or try them on. But I'm assuming you're still an online-only enterprise. Is that right?
Yeah, so we're online-only, but if people want to try on shoes, they can actually set up an appointment at my clinic to try on shoes.
Cool.
Yeah, so my clinic downtown. If you're in Toronto, you can set up an appointment and try on all the shoes you want there.
Amazing.
Dan, you can try on some size 6 heels.
I'm going to need a larger size, but yeah, I can use the height.
We 13, actually.
Oh, we're good.
Then. Double wide?
just wide. Not double wide, but we do go to wide.
That should work.
We also have a couple of men that are texting in saying, Dr. Liza, any plans for a dress men's shoe?
You know what? No, because the thing is with men's shoes.
Fuck you.
With men's shoes, you guys actually have some great options. And once you put in a custom orthotic, it's great. But the problem is, it's very hard to fit custom orthotics into women's dress shoes. So that's why the whole shoe has to be designed to fit
redesigned.
It. Yeah. With my male patients, I have no problem getting their shoes perfect with orthotics. But with women's, it's impossible. You literally have to build the whole structure together.
Are you willing to, or are you able to reveal the secret? In other words, you told us earlier how, you know, a heel sensibly will, you know, push you forward and it will impact your posture. So what is special about the way that these shoes are designed so that the heel remains, but the posture is helped and you know, pain is lessened?
Well, there's a couple of things. So I've been in practice for 15 years and I've been doing orthopedic shoes for that long as well. So when I looked at designing my shoes, I looked at it as not just a shoe, but almost as like a therapeutic device. So for us, like as a practitioner, when someone has like severe plantar fasciitis or they have a stress fracture, we put them in a rocker shoe or boot, right? So I said, I want that same rocking motion with my shoe. So then it offloads and they don't have any pressure on the balls of their feet. That same kind of motion you would get with a medical rocker shoe, you get with my shoe. And then I also built in a custom orthotic, not a custom, but an actual orthotic that goes with the shoe so that you're fully supported in the offloads and stops you from overpronating, which is rolling in and the biggest problem that most women have. And then I thought we need it extra comfortable, right? We need shock absorption. So that same material that you have in running shoes, EVA, I put that right in the platform of my shoes. So that's why I'm like, these are called the sneaker pumps, because it's like you're wearing sneakers.
That's amazing.
The same kind of things that you think of when you're like, oh, you don't want people to slip, because when you feel like you're slippery, you actually use the muscles in your feet more. That causes them to tighten up and it gives you pain. So I put non-slip soles. So with every shoe, it's all designed from like, first, let's make them look amazing. Second, let's have them be therapeutic. What are the most common problems people have? Fallen arches, overpronation, metatarsalgia, arthritis. Let's think of all those problems and then find the solution in the shoe so that while they're looking amazing, feeling amazing, it's actually helping your body too.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell this as a man who knows next to nothing about women's shoes.
That means nothing.
Very close to nothing. When I've gone with different women over the years that like when they want to go shoe shopping and I'm standing there watching them look at one black pumps versus another pair of black pumps and they're trying to decide to me, it's like, they're all heels. I don't get it. I don't see the difference. I'm sorry. Open toe, closed toe. I see that. Other than that, I don't really see the difference. I'm just a dumb man. I got to tell you.
The silhouette of the pumps.
I don't see it. But what I can tell you is this, Dr. Liza, and I say this without any level of bullshit. Since I saw your episode of Dragon's Den, I have been scrolling my Instagram account and I constantly see photos of women I already know wearing your shoes. And I instantly identify them as your shoe. I just saw a picture Amazing. The other day. Friend of the show, Michelle Shaughnessy, was wearing...
Michelle. Love Michelle.
She was wearing your shoes, a red pair, on her wedding day.
Wow.
Or were they pink? Okay, pink. Maybe I'm colorblind too on top of everything. Or I just have a shitty memory. I don't know.
Yeah, she wore some of my blush pink pumps for her wedding.
There you go. See?
Yeah, she has
I don't remember the color, shoes. But I remember they were yours.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's amazing because I know a lot of, I've heard of like women having to change shoes between the wedding and the reception so they can dance and stuff. So it sounds to me like you've created that solution where all in one shoe, you can look good, feel good at the same time.
Yeah, day, all night. So if you're working all day, you're on your feet, you want to go out for dinner and then you still want to go out to dance after, you can keep on the same shoe. You don't have to put on flats.
Yeah.
The thing is, flats, I make flats too. But at the end of the day, flats just do not look the same as wearing a nice high heel. So you want to be able to wear a heel all day long. Especially when
I don't
you
know. Love me them flats, though. Just bring the girl down.
Listen, the ability.
Look at that. Cute. There it is.
Yeah, but the ability, the thing that a heel does to pull that calf down and make that leg look nice and long.
It
like
does
that,
look dope.
You cannot, you cannot match that. A heel
it's
just makes it look sexy. So if you can make it look sexy and functional and comfortable, I mean, that's a win-win.
Exactly.
Yeah. If I was a dragon, I'd have followed up. I'm just saying, if I was rich and I was a dragon, sure. I'd have followed up. And I don't know if you know this or not. We are in the process of trying to start a GoFundMe to buy Gene Simmons' house in Las Vegas. So, I mean, if we can get it up to like 14 million, we'll shoot you 0.5.
We'll
cut you in. Yeah. No doubt. Everybody contribute. Everyone contribute to the buy.
Guys, yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Buy Gene Simmons' house and fund Dr. Liza. That's our new campaign.
Yeah,
perfect. Hey, before you run, I just want to show you this because I just pulled this up real quick and I want to see your reaction to this. I just Googled, for the fun of it, celebrities doing crazy things in heels. Because this amuses me to no end when I see the things that women actually do in heels.
Wow.
Like, Priyanka Chopra walking on subway grates in her stilettos. Wow. That looks like death to me.
Yeah.
Right?
I play basketball in my pumps.
Well, here's Kate Middleton playing volleyball in her heels.
Yeah, we do it. But the thing is, at least when you're doing these things like playing basketball or volleyball in my shoes, at least you're not doing yourself harm. Like, you're fine.
Right. That's the point.
Yeah.
I think all these women need a pair of Dr. Liza. Here's Kim Kardashian bowling in stilettos.
Yeah,
none of this is good for them, right, Dr. Liza?
It's so bad for them. But the thing is, a lot of them are, you know, dealing with chronic pain issues as a result of the heels that they're wearing.
Right.
Right.
I mean, I can't reveal personally, but I mean, I do treat a lot of celebrities, and I can tell you that yes, they walk around in it, but trust me, they are suffering and their entire bodies are suffering from them.
Dear Lord, look how fine Beyonce
they chose.
Is.
They chose fashion over function, whereas they could have had both.
Yeah, but you know, some people, like if you see Megan Thee Stallion and she's performing, she's actually wearing sneakers. The thing is, you can only go doing that stuff with your heels so long before you blow out your knees.
Right.
And then you have no choice, but better to get in the right shoes before you mess up your body permanently.
Dr. Liza, I can honestly say this is the longest conversation I've ever had in my life about women's shoes.
Yeah.
And I do not regret it. It was a lot of fun. Thank you for joining us. If listeners and viewers of ours want to get in touch with you, want to learn more about the Dr. Liza shoe line, where can they go?
So DrLizaShoes.com, or you can go to Dr. Liza Shoes on Instagram, or you can just Google Dr. Liza Shoes and you'll find us.
There you go. It's easy. As easy as that. Thanks, Dr. Liza. You've
Congratulations
been so wonderful.
On your success. I'm so happy to see you doing your thing.
It's
great. I support what you're doing 1,000%.
Yeah, and like with or without the dragon, like we're still going.
Exactly.
Like I'm still doubling sales this year. Like I'm good.
There you go. That's it.
And just for the record, Manjeet's beard tastes like shit. I'm just saying. Like,
I have more, but I won't, you know.
I'm just saying. It's garbage.
We're both from Calgary, so I know a little bit more about.
Okay.
But I'll keep that on though.
All right. That's another episode.
When you come back on the next episode and you can wear your pajamas.
Exactly.
I'm just like literally right after this, I'm like going, washing my face, and I'm going right into bed. So
straight to bed.
Me too. Well, have a good night.
Good night, okay. Dr. Liza.
Hey, good night, everyone.
There she goes, everybody. Dr. Liza, check her out online, doing her thing and helping you stay healthy in more ways than one. I mentioned Michelle Shaughnessy during Dr. Liza's segment. Her husband, Stefan Brogren, will be our guest on the program next week, making his return to the show.
Cool.
Of course, Stefan of Degrassi fame, and of course, acclaimed director. He's got a holiday movie that's streaming right now, Chance for Christmas. My son absolutely loves that film. He's watched it like 3 times.
Wow.
So much fun. It's like a Christmas movie meets Groundhog Day.
Mm.
Super cute. Michelle's actually in the movie as well.
Oh.
Lots of fun. Stefan will be with us next week. Dan,
tremendous.
Parting thoughts?
Yes. Much love to both Dr. Liza and my homie Jay Morris. Want to remind everybody that the Hip Hop Food Drive goes on, I think, throughout the entire month until the new year. So everybody in Canada, you can do a quick e-transfer, hiphopfood.com thefooddrive@gmail.com. Anything that you donate will be helpful. And obviously, it's a season of giving, and giving back to those who are less fortunate is always an important thing to do.
Ted?
Yeah, this is the holiday season, no doubt. And there is going to be a lot of stress. There's going to be a lot of enjoyment. There's going to be a lot of emotion happen over this time. I want to send a special message that just says that we over at Crossbody Studios, Crossbody Pro Wrestling, are having one more fundraiser show. The ones that we've had so far for Hacker Scotty O'Shea was fantastic. The one last week for Dan Housen, fantastic. Mm-hmm. We have one more to close out the year on December 17th. For the Cambridge Humane Society. That one is, like, obviously it's animals, so it means a lot to me. Mm-hmm. So it'd be a personal favor if y'all could just, like, come out, show some support. Blankets, toys, obviously buy a ticket, see the show, buy some merchandise, all of that stuff. All proceeds are going to go to the Cambridge Animal Hospital. Yeah, we're going to see each other before Christmas, but come out and do it.
What's the date of the last show, Ted?
17th of December. And then January 8th. January 8th is the first official big show.
Okay.
Actual announcement of matches coming up. So
not a showcase event, but a real show.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Awesome. Go check it out, folks. If you're anywhere in the Southern Ontario area, December 17th, Crossbody, they're donating to a great cause. Go support them. These guys have a heart of gold between Tid and Ben. Go give them a few bucks and have a great night at the same time.
Don't give us shit. Don't give us shit.
Well, give it to them so they give it to the people that matter.
100%.
All right. Next week, by the way, will be our final episode of 2021. And then
forever, ever?
Not forever, ever, but for 2021. And then we will wrap it up and we'll see you all in the new year. But we got one more to go before we stick the fork in this one. Until next week, on behalf of Notorious TID Chris Tidwell and my bro Danny O, my name is Donnie DeSilva. Thanks to our guests and thanks to you. We'll see you next time.
Whoop, whoop.